The Bible reading today comes from the letter of Paul to the Ephesians, chapter 2, verse 11 to 22. Therefore, remember that at one time you Gentiles in the flesh, called the uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision, which is made in the flesh by hands. Remember that you were at that time separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made us both one and has broken down in his flesh the dividing wall of hostility by abolishing the law of commandments expressed in ordinances, that he might create in himself one new man in place of the two, so making peace, and might reconcile us both to God in one body through the cross, thereby killing the hostility. And he came and preached peace to you who were far off, and peace to those who were near. For through him we both have access in one Spirit to the Father. So then, you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure, being joined together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord. In him, you also are being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. This is the word of the Lord.
Father, we ask again this morning that you might enlighten the eyes of our hearts, that we would see the hope to which you have called us. What are the riches of your glorious inheritance in the saints? And what is the immeasurable greatness of your power towards us? In Jesus' name we ask, amen. In our house recently, we've had lots of discussion about glasses, the things you wear, not glasses that explode every now and then, and you drink from. You maybe don't have that problem. We have bought some glasses from IKEA. And we've had several of them that just suddenly randomly explode. But not those glasses, the glasses you wear. Opticians. We've had new glasses, new sunglasses. A few years ago, I went to the opticians, to the Algon Optica, and tried on some glasses there. They looked really good. I think so, anyway. I liked them. Gabby liked them, more importantly. But the problem was, I tried them on before I had my eye test. And so when the optician said, actually, my eyes were fine, I didn't need glasses, I was a little bit disappointed. To be honest, I liked them so much, we did consider buying them without a prescription. Fortunately, you'll be pleased to hear, my vanity didn't get the best of me, and I got that under control. In Ephesians, Paul wants us to take a trip to the spiritual opticians. He wants to get our eyesight sorted out. That is his prayer for the Ephesian church. Chapter 1, verse 18, that he prays that they would have the eyes of their hearts enlightened. We need God to correct our vision so that we can rejoice in God's great eternal plan that nothing will undo or change. God's plan to unite all things in Jesus. Jesus at the center, you and me united in him, And that you and I and every Christian might today take our stand, trusting in his promises, trusting in his power, learning to live in the light of that plan, and sing the praise of his glory. And as we think about our eyesight, our spiritual eyesight, in our passage this morning, Paul wants us, we're reminded of what we were like without Jesus, so that we can see that what we have today is so precious, and so that we might reflect that eternal reality. And we have a command in our passage. I don't know if you heard it as Don read it for us. It's right there at the beginning in Ephesians 2, verse 11. It's there again in verse 12. Remember. Remember. Specifically, remember what you were, so that you will learn to appreciate and be grateful and enjoy and revel in what you are now and what you have now. First point, verses 11 to 12, remember you were far off. Remembering is always an active process. If you don't remember, you forget. Sometimes it doesn't matter. So as I was writing this, I forgot to finish a sentence. Never mind. Sometimes it really does matter. Sometimes you need to know your PIN number for your credit card when you get to the checkout. You need to know where your house keys are. Have you ever forgotten where you came from? Pretty scary sometimes. Remember who you were. You were far off. As last week, we begin with bad news so that we get to see the good news. We need to see the depth of the problem so we see the wonder of the solution. Read with me from verse 11. Remember that at one time you Gentiles in the flesh, called the uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision, which is made in the flesh by hands, remember that you were at that time separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. It's a pretty bleak situation. I imagine most of us here aren't Jewish, and so this would have applied to us. The desolation of our situation without Jesus, estranged from God, all of that is shown in our non-Jewishness. From a Jewish perspective, being called the uncircumcision is a derogatory term. It's an insult. Circumcision was the physical sign of their covenant with God. It was a sign of an exclusive relationship, a privileged relationship that they had. They were God's special people. And uncircumcision showed that we were just on the outside looking in. Not just a physical division, but a spiritual division. Because being excluded from God's people meant being excluded from God. No right of access. No pass to get you through the gates. Your security clearance has been denied. Nothing we can do. It's like being stranded on a different planet. A journey that you just cannot make on your own. No hope of crossing over. In verse 12, we get a list of five devastating disadvantages. All are about being outside of God's people and outside of his saving purposes. Number one, separated from Christ. Been seeing that God's eternal plan is centered on Christ, on Jesus. And yet we were separated from him. No king to fight our battles for us. No Messiah to rule over us and lay down his life for us. Of course, unbelieving Jews were also separated from Christ. Remember 2 verse 3 last week? Paul includes himself as one of those who was dead. spiritually dead, like anyone else, until God brought him near. But the Gentile situation was slightly different, separated in a different way. Unbelieving Israel still had the messianic hope. They still had access to God's word. They still had God's promises that he would one day send the Christ and fix the problem. But not the Gentile. We were separated from Christ in every way. Number two, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel. Many of us know what it is to be a foreigner in a land in which you don't belong. Here, there was no hope, though, that the Auslandsbehörde would renew your visa. There wasn't. It was just denied. There was no immigration lawyer to call. In fact, there wasn't even a form to fill in. Names not on the guest list. Alienated from the Commonwealth of Israel. Number three, strangers to the covenant of promise. God's promises just didn't apply. There was nothing, no right, no legal route back in. There was nothing hidden in the small print that had been overlooked, just excluded. So number four, having no hope. Miserably brief, two words. No hope, nothing to look forward to, no brighter days ahead, no reason to think that things should improve for us, no route back to God, no peace with God, and so number five, without God. Bleak and depressing. We had no claim. We really value inclusivity. In the 21st century, it's one of the key doctrines of Western culture. God made all people in his image, so all should be included without distinction. But here we are, excluded, on the outside. Most of us are Gentiles, only allowed into God's plan now that Jesus has come. We mustn't forget that. We were outside of God's people with no right to Jesus. We don't deserve Jesus. Remember, you were far off. But, verse 13, but now you have been brought near. No, now you have been brought near. Now, I've run out of storage on my phone. I had to delete some photos this week. I currently have 28,156 after deleting some. I'm doing well. My issue is I take about 10 photos for each shot that I want. We live our lives through our phones because we want to preserve our memories. And we want to share the experience, right? Sometimes we spend so much time looking through a screen that we forget to actually look at what is in front of us and live in the here and now. We look at the picture and we could be enjoying the real thing. Paul doesn't want us to get lost in the memory. So he says, remember, so that you know now what you have. So that we enjoy more and more the reality of what we have now. Have a look down at verse 13. Those words, but now. Last week we saw verse 4, God acts in rich grace in a desperate situation. Here God acts again. Now in Christ Jesus, you who are far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. Know who you were. You were far off. You were excluded. You were on the outside. It's a journey we can never attempt. But now you have been brought near. To be brought near is Old Testament words for being brought into the presence of God. Standing before him. There is an intimacy that we had no right to. That we can enjoy now, a closeness, not just as converts, but as sons and daughters, been invited into the family home when we were on the outside looking in. You have been brought near. How? End of verse 13. By the blood of Christ. He himself is our peace. The person and work of Jesus brings us near. Brought near in Christ as he unites us with him. Where he is, we are. Brought near by his blood. So the Old Testament, people of Israel had to sacrifice an animal to draw near. Here we have been brought near by Jesus' final sacrifice, by the blood of Christ, his blood shed to wash us clean, who pays the price of our redemption. And so where our sins once kept us far away, he has removed them as far as the east is from the west, so that now you and I are brought near. Look down at verse 14. Paul writes, Jesus himself is our peace. The Jewish Christian draws near to God in the same way as the Gentile Christian in Jesus. He has made us both one, brought near together in Jesus forever, united all things in heaven and on earth. So there isn't Jew and Gentile anymore, but there is Christian. During the GDR times, there was a wall running through and a fence running through most of Germany, 850 miles long. The museum in the city centre, that way, shows you parts of it and pictures of what it was like. Electric fences, security devices, motion sensors, barbed wire, concrete, anti-vehicle devices, designed to keep people apart, to keep West Germans out, to keep East Germans in. The Lord Jesus, in his flesh, breaks down the dividing wall of hostility, just as the Berlin Wall fell, or just as the apartheid came to an end. Jesus breaks down the wall between Jew and Gentile that separates us. Did it in his flesh, in his life, and in his death? Verse 15, by abolishing the law of commandments. People disagree as to quite what Paul means here. Some say that Jesus abolished misuse of the law, which then led to division and hate. I think he is saying that the law is perfectly fulfilled in Jesus' life and in his death. So that the law covenant with its system of sacrifices is no longer a barrier keeping us out. New covenant open to Jew and to Gentile so that we can come in who believe. So that we can be brought near together. So Jewish believer and Gentile believer become one. Not two different subsections of God's people. It's not a hierarchy under the same sort of umbrella organization, but two groups. This is two people united together to become one. We're thinking about a wedding celebration, looking back to an event that has happened this Saturday. When a man and woman get married, two people united together become one. That is what happens with us. Jesus makes one new humanity. You who are far off have now been brought near. We're saying that if you have not experienced this before, if you know that you are still far off, if you feel like you are on the outside, looking in, Jesus can bring you near. He would love to bring you near. Just ask him. You might want to pray something like this in the quiet of your heart. Lord Jesus, I'm sorry for the way that I've lived. I am helpless and need your rescue. Please would you bring me near and teach me to follow you. If you would like to pray something like that, Larry or I would love to speak to you afterwards. Please do come and chat to us. We have been brought near. And so we enjoy peace. Did you see that word coming up again and again? Verse 14, Jesus is our peace. Verse 15, Jesus makes peace. Verse 17, Jesus preaches peace to those who are far off, and he preaches peace to those who are near. Peace is what characterizes us now. Whether you are near or far off, Jesus preaches peace to you. It's what he said to the disciples when he rose again, isn't it? Peace be with you. There is no hostility or division or separation. That is the power of the gospel. We find it's really hard to see or to understand because we don't understand the depth of the division. God's immeasurable power to bring together those who are completely separated, those who were far apart, God's power to bring peace out of war. The gospel does away with things that divide us. As those who have received peace, we should be characterized by peace. It means the end to racism and factions and ageism in the church, classism. We are all equal at the foot of the cross. No one of us is more deserving than another. And wonderfully, verse 18, in Jesus, God the Son, we have access in one Spirit to the Father. Ready and free access, because we've come near, we've been brought near to one another, to the living Lord of heaven and earth. Access 24/7, 365 days a year for eternity. You can approach God as your Father anytime you want, in worship and adoration, prayer and petition. Do you enjoy that access and that privilege? We need to learn to see the depth of the problem, to see how far off we were, that we would know what a privilege we have today. Come and join us Wednesday evening to pray together to our Father, to do that together, not on your own, but together, because we are united together to approach God's throne together. Remember, you were far off, but now brought near. And all of that is for a purpose. Verses 19 to 22, to be God's temple. I wonder what you make of LEC. I wonder what you see as you look around. But hopefully, you're here and you have some great friends here. Hopefully, if you're new, you're getting to know people here and making friends. Home groups are a great way of doing that. At the weekend away, in just over a week's time. Great way of doing that. It's not too late to sign up. We will find space for you. Speak to me afterwards. Maybe you're here and you think, yeah, sure, it's a nice group of people to hang out with for a couple of hours on a Sunday. Maybe you've just not given it much thought at all. You come and you leave. You come and you leave. You come and you leave. God wants us to know that he is doing something glorious in and through the church. And LEC, we are part of that. Have a look at verse 19 with me. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens. Remember, you were far away, but not anymore. Now you are fellow citizens with the saints, brought near, made one, members of the household of God, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure being joined together grows into a holy temple in the Lord. I wonder what the most impressive building is that you've ever seen. It's quite hard to think of sometimes. I came up with the Sagrada Familia in Barcelona. Epic work in progress. It's been 142 years in the making. When it is finished, there will be 18 spires. It'll be amongst the top 10 tallest buildings in Spain. All of that is very impressive, but it is the intricate detail that just takes your breath away. The art and the workmanship, the craftwork that has gone into that building is phenomenal. Brothers and sisters, we have been brought near together to be a temple, to be the most glorious building, a living building for all eternity, a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. The finished Sagrada Familia just will not compare. Whatever building you might have in your mind. Part of the most incredible building project that has ever been, a living temple filled with precious jewels, precious stones, you and me, not fit just for a king, but for the God of eternity. Is that what you see when you look around? Built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Christ Jesus as the cornerstone. The centerpiece. What a dignity we have been given. We get to share a place, not just with giants like Paul, but with Jesus himself. And you and I here today are part of that building. One that will last into eternity, for eternity. One that we did not deserve to be a part of. One that we had no right or access to. We're going to be thinking more about this over the coming weeks, but that is why who we are today, individually and as a church, really matters. It matters. As you look around, what do you see? Do you know how precious you are? You're not aliens, you're not strangers. Not those on the outside. You are God's temple. The centerpiece of God's new creation, of God's eternal plan built on the Lord Jesus Christ. We're sat here today in the Andreas Gemeinde in Leipzig. But you and I are evidence of what is happening in the heavenly places in eternity. Let that blow your mind. I've been trying to think of an illustration this week to help us. An architect's scale model, you know those things? There's one in the monument to the Battle of the Nations as you go in, this little white building that looks a bit like the real thing. Doesn't quite fit because, believe it or not, the church isn't a prototype. It's not a scale model. It is the reality. Maybe it's more like a bonsai tree, small but real. You might not think it, but we are glorious. Incomplete, imperfect, maybe a bit grubby, but still the reality, the building that will last into eternity. We began by thinking about eyesight. So how is your vision? What do you see when you look around? What do you see when you look at yourself? Here we are, people from so many different nations. What a privilege to be together. Jew and Gentile, all united in one man, Jesus Christ, built together a holy temple in the Lord. No longer strangers or aliens, those who belong, and really belong. We watched E.T. fairly recently, and you know, E.T., the alien who comes in and lands, gets left behind by a spaceship, and is found by a kid called Elliot. And Elliot adopts him into his home, and they try and take care of him. This is an alien living in a home. They feed him, they clothe him, they try and make him part of their family. But Easy doesn't belong there. He can't survive there. And he has to leave. You and I belong. We are aliens. We were aliens, but now we belong. Maybe you've had a week to forget. Maybe you think, John, if you really knew me, you would not be saying these things about me, and you would be appalled by me. If you are trusting in Jesus, even if you feel that your grip on him is so weak and so feeble, if you are trusting in him, you are not an imposter. And God will make you into a shining stone in his temple. And maybe you will need a bit of polishing and a bit of picking up and a bit of dusting off, but that is the work that God does. We are the real thing. Not a finished project. Verse 22, you are being built together. It's an active, present, continuous verb. This is a work in progress. It is ongoing. When we look around and we see our sin, and when we see one another's failings, and when we see some of the ways in which we struggle to forgive one another, or we see some of the frustrations that we might have with one another, God is at work refining you, uniting us, changing us together to be fit for him to dwell in. So Eddie C., when you look around, what do you see? We are the real thing. Let's build together. We're going to keep on thinking about this over the weeks to come. God is at work. He is bringing us together. Being a Christian means nurturing and caring for one another. How are you going with that? It's a joy to see many involved in home group, giving up time together to pray together, to open the Bible together. It's great seeing some of the photos come through of the walks that happened on the bank holiday. Precious to see the way in which so many have gathered around Nora and Vito and the family. Thank you for all the ways that you do look out for each other and that you do express this heavenly, eternal reality. Don't give up. But let's keep thinking it through. How many of your conversations count? When was the last time you messaged someone to see how they really are? Or instead of saying you'll pray for someone, when was the last time you actually stopped and prayed with them and enjoyed that access to the Father that we have together? Maybe you're here this morning and you know that this just isn't a priority for you. Friends, if that is your mindset at the moment, how is your eyesight? If this is what church really is, then is seeing one another just once or twice a month for a couple of hours on a Sunday, is that really enough? What might need to change in your life? Friends, remember, you were far off, and know now in Christ Jesus, you have been brought near. Let's pray. Lord God, we don't deserve this. We thank you that when we were far off, Christ Jesus died for us and brought us near. Father, would you humble us by that and enlarge the eyes of our hearts to see what a privilege that truly is. And as we live our lives together as a church family, with Christians across Leipzig and this world, would you help us to live out that eternal reality? That the Lord Jesus might be seen for who he is. That you might get all the praise and all the glory. We can't do this on our own, Lord. We need your help, but we know that your help, your power is immeasurably greater than we ask or imagine. And so, Lord, we ask, help us. In Jesus' name, amen.